After their bye week, the Kansas City Chiefs won 5 games in a row. Then they lost to the Buccaneers, people panicked, and then they won 3 in a row in one of the hardest stretches of any team in the NFL. Now the Chiefs are going to get the Tennessee Titans at home, a game looking very similar to the Buccaneers game of a few weeks back. But what can we expect from the Kansas City Chiefs in that game? I hope to tell you. Welcome to the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. And on today's show, we're going to be looking ahead to see what the Chiefs are going to do whenever the Titans come to town on Sunday. Plus, I want to try to figure out where exactly the Chiefs belong in the power rankings of the NFL, as overrated as those may be. Where do they fit in the NFL's conversation? As we get closer and closer to the playoffs, just 3 games remaining on the Chiefs' schedule, what could trip them up in the regular season or in the playoffs? Where do we go from here? The Chiefs are 10-3 now, sitting atop the AFC West, and we're starting to get to that point in the year when national media starts looking for kind of like stories to answer the question of who's most likely to knock off the Patriots or who's most likely to knock off the Seahawks or the Cowboys or whatever. And the Chiefs are getting thrown in that conversation now. I've said all year, I could not care less about the national conversation being around the Chiefs or not. If they want to talk about the Chiefs, that's fine by me. If they don't, that's fine by me. But I do think that there needs to be a discussion around the Chiefs among Chiefs fans, national media, whatever, doesn't matter. But for us, for me, presumably to you, a Chiefs fan, I do want to have the conversation of, well, how far can this team reach? Is this team the best equipped in the AFC to take down the Patriots? And I would say right now the answer is probably yes, even though, and not just because of the number 2 seed in the AFC. I'm not just doing this by standings. I think I would say yes right now, even though they're doing it without a quarterback who can take over a game, or so we thought. Is that the case now with Alex Smith? That's one of my favorite conversations right now, is trying to redefine or watch Alex Smith try to redefine himself. All of a sudden, Alex Smith is having games where he's struggling at the beginning and then having giant comeback victories. That comeback against the Broncos in Denver in prime time is going to live forever for Chiefs fans. That's never going to go away. We are going to start to care for him less whenever he throws a pick in the playoffs. And he didn't have a good game before that. But doing enough and making an incredible drive to go and finish up that game in Denver, an unbelievable effort from Alex Smith. A game that probably should have ended in a tie. Maybe if it doesn't end in a tie, that's not remembered so well for Alex Smith. I don't know. That would be unfair, though, I think, because he did his job at the end. Going to Atlanta and picking up 29 points in a game when they needed 29 points. Then against the Raiders at home, Thursday Night Football, getting 3 touchdowns as a team. But it's not just the offense. This is whenever I have to step back and ask myself how I watch football and think about sports. Because Alex Smith has had some really bright moments in these last 3 weeks. But the Chiefs are 10-3, and especially 3-0 in these last 3 weeks, because of some incredible defensive plays. Going back to the Panthers game, what Marcus Peters and Eric Berry did there. The incredible game that Eric Berry had in Atlanta, scoring 8 points completely on his own. This defense is making big plays. The special teams are making gigantic plays. Thank you, Tyreek Hill. But those are intangible things. I mean, they're tangible. They're points. They're charted. You can find those on a stat sheet. You can judge how much of this was by the offense, how much of this was made by the defense and special teams. But here's where I start to question if I'm just watching this wrong, or if I'm thinking or talking about the Chiefs wrong, or all of sports wrong. That shouldn't be this kind of repeatable. The Chiefs were losing in Carolina. I mean, that game was over. That game should have been over. They never should have walked out of Carolina with a win. And then all of a sudden, Marcus Peters is pulling the ball out of the hands of Kelvin Benjamin. Like, not even like a big hit, not a pick on a risky play. Just Benjamin had the ball. Peters took it. In Atlanta, the Falcons are going, they're ahead. The Falcons are ahead in the game. They go for 2 to try to make it a 3-point lead instead of a 1-point lead. Eric Berry picks it off and runs it back after a pick 6 earlier in the game. That's insane. Tyreek Hill getting a safety returned to the house or a punt returned to the house. the Chiefs scored all of their 21 points, all of their 21 points against the Raiders in the second quarter. They didn't score outside of the second quarter. And it was because of Tyreek Hill twice and the offense once. You could say it's from the offense twice, actually, I think, because the throw Alex Smith made to Tyreek Hill on that post route was unbelievable. So that's unfair of me. I take that back. Forgive me, Alex Smith. But the Chiefs against the Raiders last week had a 5-play, 70-yard drive, the offense exploding. Then a 7-play, 78-yard drive, the offense playing very, very well. I was unfair to the offense. The offense scored 14 points against Oakland. And then a Tyreek Hill 78-yard punt return touchdown as Arrowhead is chanting Tyreek, Tyreek, Tyreek. After he muffed a punt earlier in the game that resulted in the first points of the game going to Oakland. Like, there's just these intangible, crazy things. And I'll give the offense its tangibility. I'll give them the credit for those two touchdowns in the second quarter. But then the offense disappeared. Well, can they do enough? Can they make the plays? Can the defense stop Derek Carr for an entire half? Derek Carr needed to get 12 points in the second half with the pace that the Chiefs' offense were on. That would have won it for them. And he got 3. Because the defense just has this thing where they get into the red zone and then suddenly teams can't score. The offense just has this thing where if they're down late, Alex Smith and Tyreek Hill are going to bring it back. Travis Kelce might just show up out of nowhere after disappearing for 3 quarters. The special teams just have this thing when they will create points out of nothing. On a punt kickoff after a safety, on a punt, on a kickoff or field position, they just have this thing. The defense will turn, if they're not just stopping the offense in the red zone, they're turning it into points of their own. The Chiefs just have this thing right now. This intangible thing. This glowing presence out in front of them that only they can see. This light leading them out into the desert. And then all of a sudden they get there and there's a well filled with points. Filled with victories. I don't know how to measure that the repeatability of that kind of, well, they just have it kind of thing. Because it doesn't make any sense. We don't see stuff like this happen. We don't see stuff like this stick. You know who had just some kind of thing? You know who just won? Tim Tebow just won in the NFL. He won a playoff game. He just made plays, man. He just found a way to make plays, Tim Tebow. Just making plays, bro. The Chiefs right now are that. The Chiefs are Tim Tebow. They're a team that's winning games, and you see why it's happening. Like, you can follow it, but if you zoom out a little bit, you know, how is this team winning? They're winning with defense and special teams, and those two units not just being good, because the Broncos won last year by defense and special teams being suffocating. The Chiefs right now are winning because their defense and special teams are outscoring their offense sometimes. Or at the very least, they're having a bigger impact. They're scoring a higher percentage of defensive points. In fact, I believe the Chiefs and the Vikings are leading the league in like defensive and special teams points scored or something like that. So I don't have that stat in front of me. We're at the top of the league, obviously, and creating points on defense, and the offense right now seems to be keeping up. Now, I do have a problem if we want to look back at the negative a little bit, and there's maybe why I'm optimistic partially about the team. I'm pessimistic because even whenever the Chiefs play really, really well, whenever they have a 21-point second quarter against Oakland, well, then the offense sputters. What happened there? Why is that? Where's the fallout there? You can score 21 points in the third quarter, and then you can't string together another useful drive the rest of the way? I don't like that at all. That's not where I want to be. But you look at the game against the Falcons. Spencer Ware touchdown in the first quarter. Spencer Ware touchdown in the second quarter. Eric Berry pick six in the second quarter. Albert Wilson punt return fake punt touchdown in the third quarter. And the PAT conversion from Eric Berry in the fourth. Like, scoring in different ways at different times against a bad defense, admittedly, but against a good offense. The offense gave up a lot of that, and the special teams gave up a bunch of that as well. I have my doubts about why this team actually has the firepower to say, go into New England, heaven forbid. And my doubts are in their consistency because they've been consistent in a way that we've never seen before, at least in a way that I've never seen before. And it's why you can talk about like the Royals a couple years ago. They just kept stringing hits together in a way that we didn't really understand, didn't totally get it. So they went to the World Series and lost. The next year they go to the World Series and win it. Right now, the thing that the Chiefs are best at is something that I cannot explain. The thing they're doing most consistently is something that can't be done consistently, or so we thought. You can have great defenses and even great playmakers, but the Chiefs keep finding these little ways in different ways to keep changing the game. Man, and if you don't buy into that, because I feel like I can hear a bunch of you shaking your head, like rolling your eyes, going, "What? You sure we can? They've done it so far, haven't they?" If you saw Albert Wilson run a fake punt to the house and didn't think, "Man, this is weird," didn't plan for this to be the way the Chiefs win 10 games in the first 13 games of the year this season, if you didn't zoom out a little bit then and go, "Oh, something's going on," then you're never going to. Like Eric Berry returning a pick six, that's one thing. Eric Berry has been making plays this year, gets to the ball, and has a real ability to always has the ability to score when the ball's in his hands and he has a little bit of space. That makes sense. Eric Berry returning a pick two to take the lead makes no sense. Tyreek Hill being good is great news. A safety turning into a punt kickoff, turning into a touchdown. Crazy. A punt return touchdown with the whole crowd chanting, "Tyreek, Tyreek, Tyreek." Craziness. And they're doing it in different ways. The offense steps up. Then the defense gets some points. Then the special teams get some points. And I want to just quantify that. And maybe you're yelling at your phone right now saying, "It's because they just find a way to win." But that's the thing. That's not a real thing. Finding a way to win isn't something that you can actually do, right? And maybe you can say, "Man, they've got a lot of playmakers. They've just got Tyreek Hill who can make a play whenever he touches the ball. Eric Berry who's making a play all the time. Marcus Peters who might be the most dangerous defensive player in football in terms of getting the ball. Who's not even being targeted lately because their teams are finally catching on. Quarterbacks are finally catching on. Got Dee Ford and Justin Houston, a couple of guys that can really get to the quarterback. You just got guys making plays, and maybe that's true, but it can't be all of it, because sometimes that guy's Albert Wilson on a fake punt. So maybe I'm screaming into the void right now. Maybe I'm being repetitive, and maybe I should just move on. But I'm having a hard time looking at this Chiefs team and saying, why is this working? Because it's working in so many different ways, and it doesn't ever feel like exactly how it's supposed to be going according to plan. So I guess the point that I'm at now, so let me make sure if I haven't made this clear yet. I don't get it, but I believe in it. I believe in what the Chiefs are doing right now, and that's kind of crazy. At this point, the Chiefs are an abstract religion. We're just saying, "All right, I don't totally understand what's going on here. There's some power at work. Maybe it's Andy Reid. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But I'm buying in. I'm saying I'm all in here. Let me tithe in form of buying an expensive jersey or something." That's where I find myself, and I hate it because I hate not having good reasons to back it up, but to say my reason is this thing that is unreasonable isn't very satisfying. At the same time, I watch this team over and over and over again, and I go, "Oh yeah, that's why I pick the Chiefs to win every week now, because of course they're going to find some abstract way to win." And it's partially because, yes, they have a lot of guys right now who are winning individual matchups. The defensive line is a wreck every week for the opposing offensive line. It's just miserable because you've got to double team everybody. And the pass rushers, from the pass rushers to Chris Jones and Ontario Poe to whoever's playing beside Poe and rotating through Raheem Nunez-Roches, Kendall Reyes, you've got options constantly. It just doesn't matter anymore. They're always winning. They're always winning their matchups. The secondary is falling apart. Philip Gaines didn't play last week. He's hurting out this week. Terrence Mitchell all of a sudden is making plays against Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. It's just stuff we can't totally put our finger on. But I buy into it. So now what does that mean? Can the Chiefs win in New England? If I'm gonna play this game logically at all, no, of course not. That's dumb. Even without Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots are really, really good. And the Chiefs aren't going to get the one seed from the Patriots. They're not going to lose two games. They would have to do that, I think. Right now, I think the Chiefs might be the top of the AFC because for the common opponent tiebreaker to come into play, or if they would have lost last week, the Chiefs would have been number one in the AFC. They didn't. The Patriots beat the Ravens. And then they'll beat the Broncos or not. Even if they don't beat the Broncos, even with the common opponents, the Patriots would have the advantage by a game. The Patriots have to lose two of their last three, and the Chiefs have to win out. I don't see that happening. So going to New England is on the table. Back it up, though. But back it up. The Chiefs are going, as long as the Chiefs don't really fall flat on their face here, the Chiefs are going to get a bye week and a home playoff game. And let's see if we can find the playoff projections for this year and give you exactly who would be coming to Arrowhead after a bye in a game to go to the AFC Championship game. I got good news. It's not going to be a very good team. Right now, the projections out of the playoff race are the Dolphins and the Ravens and the Titans and the Colts, a bunch of teams that I'm not too horrendously worried about. And the wild card round right now, as it currently sets, obviously the Patriots being the one seed, the Chiefs being the two. The Steelers are the three, which I hate. I hate that so much. That's one I would be concerned about. But the Steelers are the three seed. The Texans are the four. And the wild cards are the Raiders, the fifth seed, and the Broncos, the sixth seed. And the Broncos have some really tough games here. They still have the Patriots and the Chiefs. But say the Broncos find a way to get in as the sixth seed. Then either the winner, the Chiefs would be getting the best seeds. The Broncos will not be coming to Arrowhead. The sixth seed will not be coming to Arrowhead. But if the Broncos and Raiders win, the Chiefs get the Raiders. If the Texans and Broncos win, the Chiefs get the Texans. If the Steelers win, the Chiefs get the Steelers. And I hate that. I hate the Steelers coming to Arrowhead and having a chance to see what we saw back in week four. Again, I hate that idea. But Andy Reid off of bye week is pretty darn good. Getting your guys rested and healthy is a really, really appetizing scenario. A game in Arrowhead to go to the AFC Championship game, I could see it. I think right now that the Steelers and the Chiefs are in a tier by themselves, a tier below the Patriots as to who has a chance, who can actually make it. I think the Patriots have like a 60-65% chance of being in the AFC, being in the Super Bowl right now. And the Steelers have like a 20% chance, and the Chiefs have like a 20% chance. I feel like it's about where it's at right now. Because the Chiefs having to deal with the Steelers at home and going to New England, that'd be tough. The Patriots have to be dealing, though, with the Raiders at home and then going and staying at home and the Chiefs have to go there. That's tough. That's a tough matchup. Right now, if you want to give me an option, I'll take the Patriots out of the AFC. But at this point, there'd even be a lot of people picking the Steelers in Kansas City, I guarantee it. But at this point, how far out of your way do you have to go before you say, well, this might be something different with the Chiefs? There might be something intangible going on here. My question then becomes, well, what can we see tangibly? Can we see the offense actually string together a game where they look good the whole game? We've seen glimpses of that. We saw a little bit of that with the Falcons, I think, but it was still in a lot of ways built on the rest of the team, built on Eric Berry. Why can't the Chiefs have a 21-point quarter and then end up with a 35 or 40-point game? That's what should have happened against the Raiders. A 21-point quarter, they should have ended up with 35. The Raiders were really threatening it by the end there. So are you worried? After looking at, oh man, they might have to deal with the Steelers at home and then go to New England. Does that scare you as a Chiefs fan? I think it probably should. It worries me. I look at this Chiefs team and go, man, this is a top five team in football. The Steelers really scare me, but they're probably right now the Chiefs are the two seed for a reason. coming off a bye at home, getting the Steelers who can't play defense. All right, yeah, I buy that. That's exciting. Let's see a whole full game of the defense, or the offense. Let's see if the defense can stay up to the standards they've set for themselves. Then why not go to New England and steal a game? Then why not go to the Super Bowl and exploit the weaknesses of the Cowboys or the Seahawks? Yeah, why couldn't that happen? I mean, I'm so cynical. I want to see the tangible stuff so bad. I want to see the offense get it going for a full couple of games. But whenever I look back, I say, you know what? Maybe the Chiefs can just do it. The 7-6 Tennessee Titans come to Arrowhead on Sunday to face the 10-3 Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Titans are 3-3 on the road this year, batting a clean 500. And 7-6 might be a little bit unfair to what the Titans have done lately. Marcus Mariota has looked very, very good this year, especially later in the season. And these last handful of games have been a little bit of a mixed bag for the Titans, but especially last week, they did the Chiefs a favor, beating the Denver Broncos. Not that the Chiefs really need help anymore, I just like seeing the Broncos lose. They beat the Broncos 13-10 last week, the previous week won at Chicago. Previous week, lost at Indy. Previous week, won against the Packers, scoring 47 points. Week before that, they gave up 45 to the Chargers. They've been all over the place, but their highs have been high and their lows have been pretty low. Giving up 43 points to the Chargers is a real dark mark on your resume. But Matt Connor on Twitter, I believe is Matt Connor AP, had a really good stat that is a little bit oversimplistic, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, and then we'll work backwards. He said, here's the bottom line versus the Titans. Hold them under 125 rushing yards, and they are 0-5. Over 125 rushing yards, and they are 7-1. That's a big deal. That's a pretty good measurement there. Not a whole lot of deviance. Haven't won a game with under 125 rushing yards this year. Haven't won a game. And it's only happened 5 times. 7-1 when they're over 125 rushing yards. Here's why I think it's a little bit oversimplistic. I think it's a little bit flawed. Just because you can't actually make that the only metric that matters from a season. So maybe the metric isn't flawed, but the way we think about it might be. But I'm happy to indulge that, at least to the point of asking, what does this mean for the Chiefs? What's the point of focus here? What's the point of emphasis? It's not Delanie Walker, who might be their most dangerous passing weapon, is their most dangerous weapon in the passing game, that's not Marcus Mariota, although the Titans' actual leading receiver as far as yards go is Rishard Matthews. He's fine. He's having a perfectly pleasant season, almost 700 yards and 7 touchdowns. The Chiefs would like to have that kind of production more often, but Travis Kelce has 70 receptions and 916 yards. Delanie Walker, I believe, missed a handful of games with injury, really kind of hurting his overall statistical output. Mariota's been very, very good, though. Delanie Walker's the guy you got to keep an eye on. He's the guy that people should be talking about. He might be the biggest matchup problem, the guy you should be afraid of a little bit. But the Chiefs have actually been really, really good against tight ends this year, which is something that we haven't said for a long time, really since Eric Berry's gotten here at least. Traditionally, Berry struggled against tight ends, and that's not the case this year. The whole defense has either really compensated for Berry's struggles or Berry's just gotten better. The Chiefs have given up one touchdown to a tight end this entire season. I mean, what a stat. One touchdown to tight ends all year and not a lot of other production either. So Delanie Walker is going to be a guy that you're going to hear talked about a lot before the game and a lot during the game, but you might just hear him talked about a lot during the game as the answer saying, what happened to Delanie Walker? Where did he go? I haven't seen him all day. Not terrified of Delanie Walker because of how good the Chiefs have been against the tight end this season. The real problem here is DeMarco Murray. Not only is he incredibly explosive, incredibly talented and quick, and a veteran who knows how to look at an offense as things are unfolding. He is a true force. And he's one of those guys where every time I watch DeMarco Murray, it's like whenever I watch LeSean McCoy or sometimes Le'Veon Bell, though I'm better at remembering this Le'Veon Bell, I go, man, I forget how good that guy is. And it's come through for the Titans. they have averaged about 145 yards per game rushing. The Chiefs, on the other hand, have averaged 96, which is a miserable look at this whole season with a totally full sample size. But I'm not going to over worry myself with the Chiefs running game, because that's not the point here. The point is holding the Titans down. How do the Chiefs do that? Bad news. Derek Johnson should be the answer to that question. He's done for the year. Tore his Achilles in the game against the Raiders on Thursday night. So where does this leave the Chiefs now? How do they decide how to stop the most important player on the Titans offense who's not under center? How do they stop the guy who seems, based off that stat from Matt Connor, who seems to be the most important indicator of how the game is going to go? How do they do that without Derek Johnson? Well, as we saw a little bit last week with the Raiders, the Chiefs immediately stepped in two different guys to sort of alternate the rule over the place, that the gap that Derek Johnson left in the offense. Daniel Sorensen spent a lot of time in as an extra member of the secondary, playing up a little bit, playing very, very aggressively, and starting to fill in that inside linebacker spot a little bit beside Ramique Wilson. And whenever it wasn't Daniel Sorensen, it was DJ Alexander. And DJ Alexander is a little raw. He's been a depth guy for a little bit. He's a special teamer first. But I think we're going to see that change in this game. And I don't know any I don't have inside information on who the Chiefs prefer. But I can tell you who I prefer. I prefer a real linebacker in Derek Johnson's spot. Daniel Sorensen is really pleasant secondary depth. I don't ever see him on the field and go like, oh, bleep, it's Daniel Sorensen time. This is going to go very poorly. I'm never concerned about him being on the field. I am concerned about him being on the field essentially playing inside linebacker or middle linebacker. That's a terrifying proposition. But I think last week Daniel Sorensen had a more full knowledge of the defense than DJ Alexander did. And I don't think Derek Johnson has actually done any of this yet. Derek Johnson has said he's going to do everything he can to help the team win a Super Bowl, and that's going to come in coaching up the young inside linebackers, which is amazing. It's fantastic. Derek Johnson's a legend. He's going to have his number retired here as soon as he retires, and he absolutely should. But I don't know if he's gotten there yet, but I know Bob Sutton has. And I know Derek Johnson is an irreplaceable guy. An irreplaceable mind. As I said last week, Eric Berry might be the heart and soul of the defense, but Derek Johnson is the brain. Derek Johnson doesn't have to be there, though, to teach young guys. Bob Sutton and that entire staff, they know how important it is to fill in that spot. You can't replace DJ with DJ Alexander and expect a clean transfer of power there. That's not going to happen. No one's expecting that to happen. But if those coaches can be instilling the game plan, instilling what it means to be the Mike linebacker into whoever it is that's going to call the plays now, we don't know that yet, whoever's going to be wearing that green sticker on the back of their helmet, somebody else's brain can step up. And maybe it is DJ Alexander. Maybe they don't want to move it to outside of the inside middle linebacker spot. Or maybe it's Ramique Wilson, or maybe it's Eric Berry, which puts him out of position a little bit. That's a little bit scary, but I have the utmost faith that Bob Sutton will pick the right guy to give the green sticker to have the radio in his helmet, to hear the calls from the sideline. But as that gets figured out, DJ Alexander has to step in, especially in this game, because as much as Marcus Mariota can do some very, very good things, and as absolutely lethal as he is in the red zone, I'll get to that in a second, and as good as Delanie Walker is, especially at trying to pick at the defense across the middle, I am most worried about DeMarco Murray. DJ Alexander is going to be the better option beside Ramique Wilson to stop the run. That's the best inside roster, is Wilson and Alexander. If you're starting to get really concerned about them passing a lot, then you can bring in Daniel Sorensen, because Derek Johnson, one of the things he was most underratedly good at was constantly being hard to throw on, constantly being present in the middle. That's something the Chiefs are going to miss immensely, and that's why Daniel Sorensen is getting some of those calls, I believe. But that the Chiefs don't have that luxury to be able to really play that, to pick that out play by play, to see, say, Sorensen, you're going for pass plays, Alexander, you're in for run plays. Because as the offenses realize that that's what the Chiefs are doing, they're going to exploit that. Throw the ball more in obvious running situations, try some draws in more obvious passing situations, and all of a sudden Daniel Sorensen's being swallowed up by a guard, or DJ Alexander's being thrown out. The defense has to get DJ Alexander to a point where he can step in here. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think that's what they'll do. And I think that ultimately he and Ramique Wilson and Eric Berry, who I've criticized in the past for being more of a deep linebacker than he is an actual safety, and that's changed this year. He's rewriting his own narrative. But that's been a criticism in the past. Well, he needs to be able to do that again now, where he's going to have to be more of that aggressive guy who's happy to come up and fill the hole in the run game whenever something slides through. And I'm sure he will be happy to oblige. Beyond that, though, if the Chiefs do stop DeMarco Murray that way, which I think they're capable of, I do think they stop Delanie Walker. I think they're capable of that because they've been stopping tight ends all year. Marcus Mariota is an interesting dual threat because he can run on the ground, but his passing has been incredible, and his performance in the red zone has been incredible, as has the Chiefs' defense. Mariota does not turn the ball over in the red zone. It just doesn't happen. I don't expect to see that change, but I do think that his touchdown and interception, well, his touchdown to interception ratio will not get worse. I don't think it's going to get much better on Sunday. As long as the Chiefs defense can hold up and hold them to field goals when they get to the red zone, they should be in pretty good shape. But what's interesting here is because it's a Titans strength, the Chiefs might have to, if I'm wrong there, if the Titans do get to the red zone and still convert as often as they have, and Mariota is as good as he has been, then the Chiefs have to go, oh, bleep, I've got to start stopping the Titans by the 40-yard line and got to keep them getting any points at all. The Chiefs' ability to do that, to me, is still a little bit up in the air. It's another thing you can have as a concern for the playoffs. Can they stop the Patriots not just out of the end zone but outside of field goal range? If not, the offense has to pick up and score their own points, or the defense or the special teams have to score their own points. And that's a place I don't want to see the Chiefs end up. They can win from behind. That's happened plenty this year. But can they be just efficient in the red zone and let teams constantly march down there and still win close games, win playoff games, even beat a team like the Titans that has some strengths? I don't know. I don't know if they can. I think in this game they're going to be okay. But as a larger question, that's something that I think it's fair to wonder about this team, especially now that Derek Johnson is going to get even easier to run the ball on the Chiefs between the 20s. Though, you know, maybe DJ Alexander is able to emulate some DJ-like stuff in the red zone whenever he's not being terribly horrified of a short pass in front of him because they've run out of field. So there's DeMarco Murray, there's Delanie Walker, there's Marcus Mariota. That's the Titans' offense. That's what the Chiefs have to worry about on Sunday. They're also going to be doing it without Philip Gaines. He is out. And Justin Houston has missed some practice, but he's supposed to play on Sunday. That's what the Chiefs' defense looks like. I would expect to see Marcus Peters and Terrence Mitchell be the starting corners again. No reason not to give Mitchell the start after the performance he had against the Raiders. A very nice game after having a pretty solid game in Atlanta as well. Again, Phil Gaines is out. I wonder if his injury was part of the reason he didn't play last week. I think he had one snap last week, if any. I'm guessing that probably played into it last week. I still would like to believe that Philip Gaines is the second or third best corner on this team. I don't want to see Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson belongs in the slot. He is the slot guy. He is the nickel corner. He is there to cover the slot. That is what Steven Nelson does very well. I feel like he's been getting beaten a lot lately, but he's always getting back to the ball before it comes back to bite him. That's great news. I buy Steven Nelson as the slot guy. On the outside, it's Terrence Mitchell, or it's Philip Gaines, or it's Kenneth Acker, and I don't feel great about any of those names. I still tend to lean towards Gaines, but in this game, it's not going to be an option. It's going to be Terrence Mitchell because Philip Gaines is out and Kenneth Acker is bad. What about the Chiefs on offense, though? What happens on that side of the ball? Here's the main thing you need to know about the Titans' defense, and Andy Reid acknowledged this. It's been all over every website leading up to this game. The Titans blitz. They blitz a lot. They blitz an incredible amount. So that's your first thought, I think, would be, oh, that's putting Alex Smith under a lot of pressure. Alex Smith under pressure seems like a bad idea. This feels like it could only go poorly. They're just aggressive pass rushes are going to end Alex Smith. And you would be wrong, mercifully. That's completely false. Based off of this chart from Steve Pazzallo, he's at PFF underscore Steve. He's a Pro Football Focus guy. He tweeted a table out here of the best passer ratings versus the blitz in all of football. And top three goes Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Alex Smith. Alex Smith has a 69% completion percentage when this is happening. He's attempting 8.7 yards per throw against the blitz. He has 6 touchdowns and 1 pick against the blitz. He's only been sacked 5 times. He has 44 first downs against the blitz. This is not creative math, by the way. So I gave you all of those stats. He has more attempts than Tom Brady. He has a higher completion percentage than Tom Brady. He has more yards than Tom Brady. He has a higher yards per attempt average against the blitz than Tom Brady. Way fewer touchdowns, though. Brady has 11. Smith has 6. He's been sacked 2 more times than Tom Brady. Matt Ryan has been sacked 13 times against the blitz. Alex Smith just 5. And he has a higher completion percentage than Matt Ryan. Also, a very slightly lower yards per attempt average. Brady has 8.5. Smith has 8.7. Ryan has 9 yards per attempt. This is not creative math, folks. This is really... I don't want to call it you folks there. That was weird. I feel like I turned into an infomercial. This is not creative math. This is Alex Smith really genuinely being very good against the blitz, being one of the things that the Titans really, really rely on. Last week, though, Trevor Siemian, who was 8th against the blitz by this chart, did not help them because the Broncos ended up with 10 points against the Titans last week, which is insane. Their offense was bad even with the return of Trevor Siemian after the Broncos somehow won with Paxton Lynch. Broncos are 8-5, probably going to miss the playoffs. That's a lot of fun. If you want to just dwell on that for a second. They have the Patriots, then at the Chiefs, then the Raiders. The top three teams in the AFC, if you want to, depending on how you would rank them, I guess. Broncos are probably going to miss the playoffs. That's fun. I enjoy knowing that. But how does this actually play out for the Chiefs and the Titans? I'm not afraid of the blitz. Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz have really had nice seasons on the edges this year. Mitchell Schwartz, I believe the stat from the Raiders series was that in 2 games against the Raiders, Mitchell Schwartz did not allow a pressure, which is like borderline unheard of in 2 games against some really, really good defensive pass rushers. Even if not that good, being opposite Khalil Mack makes you better. Because he's Khalil Mack and defenses are paying attention to him. So whenever the Titans are bringing pressure, those tackles are going to hold up, the interior is going to hold up, and Alex Smith is going to get the ball away. I feel fine about that. The real question for me isn't, can the Chiefs score enough points to win? It's because they can, obviously. The question is, will they? And I'm a little bit less optimistic here, or not less optimistic. I'm less confident here. Because the Chiefs can... The Chiefs can score a bunch of points, even on offense. Late in the game, fast-paced, high tempo, moving the ball, maybe committing to the run a little bit. Yeah, the Chiefs can move the ball. Deep shot to Tyreek Hill early on in the game. Hell yeah, do it. Have them split some defenders, put the ball there. But the Chiefs' consistency is the cause of my lack of confidence. I have my doubts about a Chiefs offense that just refuses to play full games. Like, that is... That should be a very real concern for you and for all Chiefs fans and for Andy Reid and for whoever. Like, that is a significant concern that I have. Is can they... Not only can they do it, you know, enough... Can they do it enough to beat a team that shouldn't beat them? Can they do it enough to beat a good team, even? Can they do it... enough, a few games in a row, and I know I might sound like a broken record of saying, well, do it for a full game, all right, did it for a full game, I'll do it for a few games, oh, then do it, go back to doing it for a full game, please, because that's, as much as I'm starting to believe in the sort of the immeasurable, they just win factor for this team, I still need to know that the offense has the ability, has the firepower to pull this off, on a week-to-week basis. And right here, this is a good matchup for the Chiefs. But the Titans blitz a ton. The Chiefs are good against the blitz. Alex Smith is good against the blitz. So what, they're going to go back on their heels and then let Smith try to find the open guy, have him find the open Travis Kelce, find the open Tyreek Hill. Jeremy Maclin's around, whatever, see if he'll force it to the covered Jeremy Maclin. Sure, man. Whatever you've got. There's a lot the Chiefs can do here against a team that doesn't have the equipment to beat them. The Titans offense has some scary weapons. The Chiefs defense has more scary ones. The Titans defense doesn't worry me too much, even though they only allowed 10 points to the Broncos. That simply cannot happen against the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a significantly better offense than Denver. It's not close. It's by a lot. I am a little bit concerned increasingly about how bad the run game has been, averaging under 100 yards per game. Spencer Ware is occasionally getting touches, but even whenever he is, he's having a hard time getting quality ones because the offensive line is not run blocking well. It's pass blocking very well, but it's not run blocking well. He's not getting gaps. He's not getting through them as quickly. He's not getting touches. He's not getting entrusted with them as often. I have my concerns about the running game. But even then, that never seems to be a concern of Andy Reid's. Andy Reid always seems pretty content. Say, all right, that's fine. We'll beat you by passing it. We'll beat you with Alex Smith throwing the ball over your head, or Alex Smith throwing the ball in front of you and getting it into the hands of one of our really talented playmakers. Andy Reid doesn't seem to have any problem with that. And maybe we shouldn't either. And I guess I wouldn't if I saw it work more. I don't want to see another bubble screen go for 2 yards on 3rd and 6. I don't want to see another bubble screen, period. I don't want to see another bubble screen to some guy who's not fast enough to make something out of it. I don't see jet sweeps to anybody but Tyreek Hill or maybe DeAnthony Thomas. What I really want to see, though, is just a full game of offensive production. Whenever that happens, all of these questions start to go away because we've seen full games of defense. My goodness, we've seen full games of defense. Even in a game against the Broncos that ended in a 28 points given up, we saw a real defensive game there. We saw a full defensive game. But now it's the offense's turn. The offense really needs to step up here soon, now. Especially against a team right now they have a pretty good matchup against. I expect the Chiefs to be able to do something with it. I'll say the Chiefs win this game, and I'm going to try to not do the thing that I always do where I say I can't pick something until I see it happen a little bit, have some inclination of where it's going to go. But I can't ever totally push myself away from that. Also, the Chiefs have a successful but ultimately not prime offensive day, and the defense holds up pretty well, but not perfectly against the Titans. As they come back a little bit late, it sounds closer than will actually be. Also, the Chiefs win this game 24-20 as the Titans try to mount a little bit of a comeback late, ultimately do not get it done. Some people really seem to love this show, and those people I am eternally grateful. These specific listeners decided to share their appreciation for the show with their money, which is an insane thing to do, an incredible thing to do, and something I'm very, very grateful for. In the $20 group at patreon.com/RTK is Ty Declare at TyDeclare44, Andy Simpson, Randy Singh at Randy_Singh_, Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy, and Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88. The $10 group is Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander, and Todd Sullivan at Tito Sullivino is a $10 group, and the $5 group is Josh Beadle. If I've said it one time, I've said it a billion. I could not do this show this consistently and hopefully this well without these people supporting it financially. So if you want to join, you can go to patreon.com/RTK. That's patreon.com/RTK to give a little bit of money each month to help support the show. If you want to support the show any other way, you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you're getting every show exactly as they come out with the hectic schedule. Just wrapped up finally. finals week with a schedule all over the place. I want to make sure you're always getting the show whenever it may come out, even if it's the wee hours of the morning. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. You can like the show's Facebook page at facebook.com/RTK Show. Just search Roughing the Kicker. Interact there. We're all over the place. You can always get in touch one way or another. And as always, patreon.com/RTK is the place to be to donate a little bit of money every month, just as those wonderful people do every single month. Speaking of Ty Declare, at Ty Declare 44, he sent me a direct message with me, been talking a little bit about the Chiefs offense and the Chiefs team as a whole, really, and how exactly they've started off under Andy Reid. I want to read what he said and see if we can sort of form an answer to this question. He said, a quick aside I've been thinking about lately, Kansas City has gotten off to slow starts in the last 2 years and then runs the table the rest of the way. How much does that speak to the complexity of the offensive and defensive schemes implemented by the coaching staff? Sure, you can beat us in the early weeks, but the more diverse the formations and play calls become on offense, then the more exotic and disguised the defense becomes. KC seems to get stronger down the stretch. Now, as seen in the second half of this game last week, talking about the Raiders game, sometimes KC gets too cute, but it's helped them put up big points in big spots and absolutely shuts down offensive superpowers. And it's a good question there from Ty. It's something that I've thought about a bunch, and I'm still not completely sure where I land on it. Because I still don't know exactly what it means. I don't know exactly what causes it, that slow start, strong finish thing. And I lean towards believing that it has something to do with how much Andy Reid and Bob Sutton are whenever they have a lot of tape on their opponents. Because there's obviously something going on, but I lean towards the tape angle because it would also play into why Andy Reid is so good coming off of a bye week. It plays into Andy Reid needing to have time to break down what's going on around him. And I don't even think it's necessarily a negative thing, like, oh, he's just slow on the draw. But it's just something he's better at or is better when that is happening. One thing that this doesn't explain, though, is going to be straight out of the gate, like the first week of the season, like back whenever the Chiefs lost to the Titans. Why is that a struggle ever? How could the Chiefs come out of the gate and lose week one? You have a general idea what the team looks like. You come out against the Chargers at home in week one and almost lose, and then lose at the Texans in week two. Sure, it's new to have Brock Osweiler, but you should have a general feel for what the Texans are bringing, what Brock Osweiler can be, what the Chargers are doing. That Chargers team was not different. They had Keenan Allen back for the first half of that game, but there's no incredible complexities there. Why doesn't that make sense when you have a whole offseason to prepare for a game? And that's what I don't totally understand. Maybe it's both of those things coming together, is what I should say. Because if it is an issue of complexities and installing a more complex system, maybe the only way that can really be done to deal with a team on a year-to-year basis, on a week-to-week basis even, is to have a little bit more time to develop your entire unit, to get your entire offense or defense on a higher level. But this Chiefs team had a bunch of veterans on it, and they came out of the gate looking really sloppy on both sides of the ball. I don't know why your veterans couldn't pick up from where they were last season. But this is also – so it's a trend, though, because you've got – 2 straight years of Andy Reid teams doing this. Then you go back to 2014, start off with the loss, that Titans loss I mentioned, losing straight out of the gate, then losing to the Broncos in week two. That game, losing in Denver. Then you win 2 in a row, beating the Dolphins and then the Patriots, losing to the Niners, and then winning another 5 straight, and then losing a bunch in a row, losing 3 games, another win, another loss, another win. That's where the 2014 team comes in. The trend here, actually, I just noticed this, though. Maybe this will get your ears to perk up a little bit. The Chiefs' bye week that year was week 6. After week 6, they won 5 in a row. That's not nothing. That's not comparable to this season when the Kansas City Chiefs lose, or win, lose, win, lose, bye week. Win, 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 loss, win, win, win. That's not, I would refute anyone, I would challenge anyone to say that's completely incomparable. It certainly is not incomparable. Let's look at 2015 and see where that lines up. I wasn't prepared to make this a schedule looking at segment. The Chiefs in, well, yeah, I mean, it happened again. Now, this time, though, The Chiefs, this is actually fascinating. I feel like we just discovered, we just unlocked some secret together. I feel like we, as a family just now, just like found a missing treasure. Just what happens to Andy Reid teams after the bye. In 2015, after the bye, before the bye, they won two games. The Chiefs last year went win, loss, 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 loss. Then two victories, and then they won out. They won their last seven games. Their seven games, they had eight games. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. 8 games after the bye, excuse me. 8 games after the bye, all victories. They just ran the table after the bye week. Back in 2014, similar story. Right now, it's exactly what's happening again. So maybe Andy Reid's Chiefs team just need the bye week to come sooner. I don't know. So maybe something happens in the bye week. Maybe there's something we'll never understand that happens in that bye week for why Andy Reid teams can start out slow and then eventually hit their stride full force because something they install something new in the bye. Why can't they do that in the middle of the season? Why can't they do that without a bye week? I have no idea. And maybe this is all reckless speculation that means nothing. That's what most of this show is anyway. Also, I feel like it's important to note that in 2013, Andy Reid's first season, they won every game until their bye week and then lost three straight and then won two more and then lost two more. So, not a hard and fast rule. But that was Andy Reid's first year. He hadn't instilled anything new yet, right? Maybe he's just learning curve and he couldn't lose up until the bye. I don't know. 2013 makes no bleeping sense. That's going to do it for this episode of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe, and if you want more of me or this show, you can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Like the show's Facebook page on Facebook, just search Roughing the Kicker or Facebook.com/RTK Show. Patreon is always open, and I'm always willing to take your questions and your takes and takeaways after the games. I'll try to tweet through every game as I always do. I'll do that again on Sunday against the Titans. Then afterwards, use the hashtag RTKTT, not RTKKK. That would be very bad. Hashtag RTKTT, and I will take your takes and takeaways, put them together for the next show so we can hear your voice again on this podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Looking forward to seeing what the Chiefs can do against the Titans on Sunday. I think we're probably due for a crippling letdown game, so if that's the case, start drinking early. Bye, Mom.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?